especially some of us know Uma really, really well. Some of you may not. Some of you may have met her briefly as you visited our community kitchen or had meals there. She was not a presence you could miss if you visited the community. She was always there guiding, blessing, and being a mother to our kitchen for the last many, many years. Not sure how long she has been around Ananda and the community. I would think at least a couple of decades, or perhaps a little more or less. Chidambara is nodding his head, 20 years. I was thinking about how I can describe Uma to somebody who has not met her or who doesn't know her. It's not an easy thing because she's unique. She's one of a kind. She was a very free soul, very, very free-spirited, quirky, eccentric, but also warm, inviting, loving, healing. She was just a unique combination of various wonderful qualities, and she was a very dear friend more than any of this to all of us, just always present, always there, anytime you needed anything. This last 10 months, she was diagnosed with cancer. I think it was about September or October last year. She had been ill for many months and she was avoiding some of us. I finally decided to step in and sort of take charge and take her to the hospital because we knew this was something serious. And these 10 months were an interesting phase, one of great growth for her, but also to a lot of us who were close to her. And in that process, watching this, this is not the first time I'm seeing somebody transition or leave their body, but it is certainly the first time the process took very long, in the sense that it was very clear that this disease that she was diagnosed with was terminal. But still she was going to live in that body for a while, and it was going to be a gradual process of letting go. And there were so many ups and downs through that, through the many months that she was in hospital, in nursing homes, back in the community, back into hospitals, a lot of these back and forths. I visited her room more regularly than I generally did in these days. And I think this was probably just a week before she was finally admitted to the hospital, a month ago or 3 weeks ago. I don't quite remember now. And, you know, always I entered her room with just this very enthusiastic voice, "Uma, how are you doing today?" And then, you know, most often she would say, "I'm very well." And this particular day as I entered, she said the same thing. I'm not kidding you. She almost looked like she could leave her body in the next hour. That's how tired and exhausted and how completely lifeless she was looking. She was laying on the bed. She had no energy left to get up. And then there was this pause, and she said, "This body is not." There was nothing else to say. It was just this understanding that she was embracing bit by bit, which was not hard for her. Death was not that easy, and it's not meant to be. But this understanding that she's not limited by that body was not a hard one for her. She had this interesting journey in her life of just, you know, going through some suffering herself, and then on this long healing journey of self-acceptance. And that's the word that kept coming to me these last few days as I was meditating. What do I associate with Uma? What does she represent for me in my own life as a friend that walked into my life for these last 10 years? The word that came to me was radical self-acceptance. Okay. And anybody who knew Uma knew what I'm talking about. She was just this person who was both sure and free and just completely comfortable being herself, her eccentricity, her art sense of aesthetics and beauty, just her, the way she communicated, which was just very unrestrained and free. And all of that was just the beauty of who she was. And, you know, we will have a bigger memorial service in the community where all of you, all of us who are touched by her will get to share more. Today it's going to be rather brief. I was thinking of so many stories that could possibly, you know, communicate who Uma was. There's one particular very odd incident that came to my mind. This is one that I've never forgotten. I'll just share that one. This was some years ago. Uma had this fondness for Ganesha, the Indian god with the elephant face. And she always collected and placed Ganeshas in different places in the community kitchen. And a couple of years ago, I bought a very beautiful one from India, and then she was very pleased, and then the cycle stopped. She didn't need to collect anymore. But this was before that, and she had this small metal Ganesha idol. I think I found for her from somewhere, some giveaway. It was not something I even bought, and she loved it, and she put it somewhere on a table, and she decorated, put flowers and all of that. And then this went on for 2 days, and after that I come and see there is this porcelain elephant figurine that was thrice the size of the Ganesha, that was just this pastel blue in color, and it was right next to Ganesha. And I just went, what? Why is he there? This was all looking so good before this elephant came there. And I asked her, I approached her, you know, do you think that belongs there? It just looks a little odd. I'm sure she picked it up from somewhere, the elephant. It's not something that was of any sentimental value. Somebody must have given her. And then she said, no, it needs to be there. And I just, again, kept persisting. I'm not so sure how it looks next to the Ganesha. You see, the Ganesha is so small, and he's also an elephant. And this elephant is clearly not a Ganesha, but also three times bigger. And she said, but he's alone. He needs a partner. And I said, okay. And then she went on. She's his girlfriend. Oh, I didn't know it was a she. And then I just played along, and I asked her, what's her name? And it was as if she had the whole thing in her head. It was not like she was thinking or making it up on the spot. Her name is Lily. But anyway, that's just this odd thing, this odd little story that stuck to my mind, because it was a lesson for me personally also, to be free as I could be in my heart and mind, to not be bound, to not be limited, to just be stuck to what I think is right, what I think is beautiful, what should this look like, what should this be. No, let's put a large porcelain elephant next to a Ganesha in this bright blue color and call it his girlfriend. And that was just who Uma was in this most beautiful way. And you know, that self-acceptance also, what it made her was a healer, because she had worked on healing herself all her life. This was not the result of just somebody who was so free, and I don't quite know actually, but my sense is this was who she became through that journey that she took many, many years, through different things, through shamanism, mission quest, and this, and Indian saints, some pilgrimage to India, and then finally, 20 years ago, landing in Ananda and finding her home. This community was her home. That's all she knew. That's where she lived. She didn't have a car. She went to Trader Joe's by walk, and then she would walk, take long walks in Los Altos, and just her entire world was defined around us, and that was enough for her. And what this journey had made her was also somebody who could have that healing presence around others. And that's really all that she wanted to do. Again, a few weeks before her passing, we were having this conversation. Just one of those tricky conversations. Death was not something that was easy or for her to embrace or look into. I was asking her, what are some things that you would like to do? You know, is there anything you feel like it's really important for you to do at this time in your life? Is there something unfinished? And then she had to think quite a bit. And then she said, you know, this and that. And then that's okay. I don't need to do that. And then she said, I wanted to, you know, be a healer. I need to work on this. I need to work on that. I want to, once I'm over this disease, once if I can get my body back, if I can be normal again, then I would like to start doing this. I would like to meet people one-on-one to offer them healing and this and that. And then I listened very carefully, and then I said at the end of it, after again a long pause, but Uma, you can do all of this so much better when you're not in this body, because everything she said was actually not of the body. And then interestingly, she again took a pause and said, that's true, I can. And, you know, I won't go for very long, and we will move on with the ceremony today. But even the last meeting I had with her, which lasted for a couple of hours in the hospice facility that she was in, at that point, she had become comfortable. She had relaxed into this idea of leaving the body. She said, I don't know why I don't like the word death. You know, it just seems so abrupt and sad. I'm just going to call it a transition into something new, something more fun, something that is free. And I said, great, that's what it is. It is a transition, and we will celebrate your transition. And what Uma's life and her passing now, as I was thinking, it means to all of us is just that, a life well lived. And a life well lived is not one where everything goes according to our plans. And that was the lesson that we all got to watch so closely these last months. Things did not. The cancer was not in her plan. And everything that came after that, the suffering, the intense difficulties that her physical body went through, none of it was in the plan. None of it was easy. But then it happens the way it is meant to. And it is still the most glorious and successful life that it is. Because she embraced all of it with a sense of positivity, and all that we saw was the hand of grace moving every little piece. Again, I won't go into all those details today, from her doctor who loved her so dearly and even regarded Uma as her spiritual teacher, from all the dear friends. Everything that happened from that point on was just this beautiful display of what life and death truly is. So friends, we will, Shanti will now lead an astral ascension, and then you will have a chance. Oh, go ahead.
That was so beautifully spoken, Sai Ganesh, thank you. I'm just going to say a few brief things because we'll have an expanded sharing next weekend. I did get to be fairly close to Uma through this journey, and I'm not entirely sure why that happened, because we were friends and we were also neighbors for a certain portion of our friendship, because I lived right next door to her above Master's Kitchen, and then I lived on the other side of the wall from her. And one of the things I loved about living next to her was that she would spontaneously in the mornings after her meditation play instruments, and she would play a recorder sometimes, and sometimes she would play her harmonica, and she played in that way that Sai Ganesh was just saying, completely free. There was no music, you know, to read. It was just coming from Uma's delight in life. And so whenever I would hear it come on, hear her play, I would just stop whatever I was doing, you know, take my hands off the computer, you know, stop whatever task I was in the middle of and just take it in. Because, there was something so pure about it, and just pure joy. And it just came through, and it just came right into my heart, and it was a gift from her. One of the things that probably struck me most about watching her from the very, you know, first moment when Sai Ganesh just so beautifully got her to go to the hospital. It wasn't easy, and she was not going to go. And he said, okay, well, either the ambulance can take you or I can take you. You have a choice. And she said, okay, you can take me. You know, she had, starting this journey, she had some deep fears. And I think, I mean, perhaps, you know, her soul chose this way so that she could walk through every fear that was lingering for her to do in this lifetime. And she did that and so much more. You know, by the end of it, she was saying yes to chemo, yes to radiation, yes to doctor's appointments, yes to the, you know, maybe not so much yes to the hospital. That got a little bit hard, but, she did with willingness. Really, truly, she embraced every moment that was uncomfortable and not welcome. And the spiritual quality today that we read about was introspection. And I think that just so beautifully, truthfully, epitomizes her journey. I think one of the things that'll stay with me the most, is that she took every uncomfortable moment that took her to, you know, where the ego just wants to take us down into resistance and, even anger and, you know, those things that get hard about a journey like this. And she would not on any one occasion the past 9 or 10 months, not ever let a single one of those things be the winner. You know, she took every single opportunity to take that difficulty, that resistance, and overcome it with love, acceptance, and surrender. So I think her just extraordinary acceptance and surrender, you know, in the face of the most difficult moments. She did the introspection. She fully, completely did it. And at the very end, the last day that I saw her with her eyes open, we had a sweet conversation. It was just like 3 days before she passed. So everything went very quickly at the end. And she had, at the very end of our conversation, we didn't say anything, and I just looked in her eyes, and they were really something. I mean, pure, clear, blue, childlike eyes. Just the presence of her childlike nature, totally purified. And I think the introspection, the battle that she, you know, welcomed, that she, sought victory over her ego every single time. I think it was reflected in those eyes that she was just free and done. And ready. And she was ready. That's what I said. Thank you.
It was so beautifully said, and we all have our Uma Devi stories. The first was that I was never allowed to just call her Uma. I had to call her Uma Devi. I respected that. I won't tell any stories, though they're profound, and I would love to. But one thing I want to say before we begin reading this beautiful ceremony that was written by Swami Kriyananda, really, you'll hear it as a means of certainly helping that soul. We're really speaking to Uma Devi at her, to her soul reality, not the life and the struggle, although she did it beautifully, but not that reality. He wrote this to speak to the soul. It's an astral ascension, helping the soul ascend back into that place of energy and then pure consciousness. That's the goal of this path. It's also a great help to all of us to be able to offer this to her. It helps on the journey that we're all together. So we all get to do this as her spiritual family. But I will, just in my own words, reiterate what Kamala Devi said. I saw her last about 3 days before she passed. And I came home and I wrote a letter to the few people who have been most involved, because Uma Devi had these really strikingly blue, beautiful eyes. I mean, I always knew that, but as everything was now washed away, she had turned that corner. She fought so hard to live. You were not allowed to talk about passing early on. But she brought all of that same energy and spiritual power into leaving well. I mean, which is what both Sai Ganesh and Amar Devi have been telling us. But she and I were just sitting there, I would say, for 30 minutes after a long talk about passing. We just looked in each other's eyes in that way where everything else just dissolves. And I felt I was looking into a sea, literally the most beautiful ocean. And because Yogananda so often spoke about whether we are a wave on the sea or the whole sea of consciousness, of course, I felt like I was being invited into that place of compassion and pure consciousness. There was no Uma Devi there. There was no Shanti there. Just those eyes as a portal to consciousness. I have helped many, many people die. Most of you have heard me say that. Just in my roles as nurse, doctor, spiritual counselor. I don't think I've ever been, I wasn't there when she passed, but she let go of this reality for some minutes so that we could connect elsewhere. And I don't think I think I can say I've never seen anybody dive in with such willingness and fearlessness in those last days and in that moment. So as we listen to the words of this just beautiful ceremony that Swamiji's written, let's hold this in truth as a celebration of her soul having gone somewhere. Swamiji will write about it, but with nothing but, I'll just say it this way, nothing but joy and celebration of her soul's freedom. She knew that, and we can bring all of our energy into just being with her in that. So, dear friend Uma Devi, you who have gone before us, have entered a realm which our souls remember, a place of freedom, light, and laughter. Take with you on your journey our blessings and our love. We shall miss you. Our desire is not to hold you back, but only to tell you, friend, we are yours. Our love and support are ever yours, and our prayers for your highest happiness. We shall meet again. Once more, we shall laugh together, rejoice together, and share in the joy of seeking Him. Claim your soul's freedom. Bless all who ever harmed you or ever wished you harm. Give them your love and your prayer for their freedom in God. Friend, cast from your heart all outward attachments. Realize that earthly goals, however shining, are but dreams. God is the only reality. Burn your earthly desires in the fire of wisdom. Burn earthly limitations in the blaze of inner freedom. Burn earthly disappointments in the flames of spreading peace. Burn earthly joys in the bonfire of divine bliss. See your physical form as a discarded garment. Clothed you now are in garments of radiant light. O free soul, see your past actions as scenes in a vast unfolding tapestry. Feast not your gaze wistfully on episodes already finished, but look ahead. New adventures await you, fresh, joyous victories as you advance toward perfect freedom. And what of us, friend, who love you and would be remembered by you? Behold us as threads of light in the tapestry of your life threads, which through the magnet of soul friendship will appear ever and again, woven with increasing beauty as our hearts expand together in God's love. Divine Mother, receive this thy child. Purify her in thy perfect light and love. Grant her eternal freedom in thee. Om. Amen.
Invite everyone to come up who would like to. We have rose petals up and we have some images of Uma. And I was thinking that, you know, what Uma would love to do, and maybe she is doing, with every person who comes up, I think she would want to take your hands and dance with you a little. Truly, you know, she really would. She would do this and she would spin you around. And so just as you're coming up, just to feel, you know, that she is, and maybe you can carry that in your heart with so much joy, because that is for sure how she would be seeing this moment, and would want everyone to feel.
Dare to be different, dare to be free, dare to roam far like wind on the sea. Fly like a gull, soar high on the air, be strong in your courage when others despair. Never in anger, never in haste, go without pride, be never abased. Freedom is yours, if freedom you give, to all give it freely, in freedom you'll live. Mountains that stand up tall through the sky, tell us no dreaming is ever too high. Dare to climb boldly, brave that high peak, you'll never know failure if bravely you seek.
Let's end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, Paramahansa Yoganandaji, saints of all religions, friend and guide, Swami Kriyananda, we humbly bow before you all. Divine Mother, great masters, thank you for bringing us together in community, in spirit, and in your love. May thy love shine forever on the sanctuary of our devotion, and may we be able to awaken thy love in all hearts. Oh, peace. Amen. Go out in joy.